great persecution against the church. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We saw how he healed all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, those who were lunatic, those who had a palsy, and he healed them. And there followed great multitude of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now, as you look at the geography of the land that is described here, Syria is a very large piece of real estate. If you look at the map, during the time of Jesus' ministry, the word of God spread. The word of God went all the way to Syria, and the people listened. The people understood and saw the light, and many came, and Decapolis, and the place beyond Jordan. You see, when Jesus was upon earth, his ministry reached far and wide. They saw the efficacy of life with God, and many who repented of their sins came back to God. And we see Jesus teaching the multitude in Galilee, in a mountain commonly known today as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 to 7. How Jesus began his teaching by pronouncing the word blessed 9 times, and to show the progression of spiritual life, and how he says that each time this word is used, it is in the plural, signifying multiples of blessing. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Matthew 5 verse 9. The fruit of being blessed of God with life from him is that we become peacemakers. When he pronounced when we are able by the Spirit of God to introduce Jesus Christ, God's peace, to the people around us, and we are willing to bear the shame, to ask time and again to friends, loved ones, that they may be able to receive life and health from God. And the fruit of being blessed of God with life from him is that this men and women who received the gospel by faith, you find that they experience the forgiveness of sins and peace in their heart. And Jesus made a very puzzling conclusion to the bestowment of blessings upon his hearers when he pronounces double blessing upon those who are persecuted for coming to him in faith. Right, he tells them to be peacemakers, and then he tells them that for every peacemaker, you expect persecution. So Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Well, the word revile means to defame, to disparage, to reproach. So the word defame means to damage the good reputation of someone. The Christians were incarcerated. Jesus says, expect these things to come upon you. And they will persecute you, Jesus says, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And he taught them a rightful response. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So if you think carefully, the believers who shares the gospel with others out of concern and out of love for their eternal well-being would receive hostile treatment. Where is the justice? Are you not doing good? Why such returns? The word persecute means to treat you like an enemy. Treat you like a target for destruction. And so Jesus paints the picture of the Christian lives, and he tells us that he concludes with facing such hostilities. And he says, all manner of evil shall be set against you falsely for my sake. You will be maligned and evil treated. Jesus says, rejoice, because your blessing from God is great. A double blessing is given to you. Then you may ask, it's easy to hear and to understand what Jesus is saying, but if you are going through it yourself, what will you do? Quite a frightening thought, isn't it? To serve Jesus Christ, you are liable for abuse, whether it's verbal, emotional, or physical. So it begs the question, why go that way? Why go that way? And I believe that every one of us must know why we are doing what we are doing. We are not a fool for wanting to be a fool. And he tells them that by enduring persecution, they function as salt and light of the earth. So immediately after he gives the Beatitudes, right at the end, he tells them that they would serve, they would receive persecution. And you would see how Christians go out to do good for the people they meet, bringing blessing to the people they meet. And our account, our study of the Acts of the Apostles, indeed, confirm the changed heart of the believers. Remember the disciples, Peter and John, went on their regular worship to the temple in the afternoon, and just about this time, 3 p.m., and they saw a lame man sitting there by the gate, beautiful, the main gate to the temple. And they prayed for him, and God healed him. And he stood up and walked. Great blessing. But what was the result of that good deed? Well, they were thrown into prison for one night. The persecution, as you can see, was still mild. But it was building up. And we see how God is very much alive. When God sent an angel to open the prison door so that Peter and John could get out of prison and in safety go back to the temple and continue to share the word. Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, whereof shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." You light a candle, it is to give you light. You don't hide the light by covering it. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What were these disciples instructed to do? To continue to do the good work and trust God to help you, protect you, and preserve you. And this would encourage and support them under suffering, that they would be treated with contempt, and yet Jesus wants them to know that they are really a blessing to the world. The more so for the suffering that they had to endure. And the prophets, Jesus says, that went before them were the salt of the land of Canaan. But these apostles, this deacon, all who serve him during this time of the Acts of the Apostles, you see that God will send them to preach the gospel to the othermost parts of the earth. It was a time of discouragement. They were so few and so weak, but God showed them their mission. And you know, the believers did not draw sword to fight. They were not resisting their enemies by taking up arms. They willingly gave up their homes, their livelihood, and they fled, as Jesus had said to them. "If this home, this city reject you, go to another place. There will be a place for you." And we saw, or we shall see, how this work as sought silently diffusing its sever far and wide in a mysterious way. In a way, it is as salt is hidden. Right? The Christians quietly served. And we want us to see and understand and know, right, that God is there for His people who are serving Him. And the believers who face any form of persecution, they must know why they are doing what they are doing. They are functioning as light. They are functioning as salt. This is a pictorial description of the Christians in Jerusalem at the time when Stephen was stoned to death, as that we saw last week in Acts chapter 7. The Jewish leadership in Israel has rejected the gospel. But we also know how silently God has saved many priests in the temple. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And from Acts chapter 8 to 12, you see the gospel spread from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And from verse chapter 13 to 28, it was spread throughout the Roman Empire with the formation of many Gentile churches. And we are bringing you that exciting story. This spread of the gospel was a result of the great persecution of the church. Two thoughts for our meditation. Firstly, from verses 1 to 3, scattering. And verse 4, preaching. Scattering and preaching. Now you said, when the enemy comes and incarcerate us, well, what it must be our response? Well, our response must be, right, that how there is this scattering that is taking place in the church, to the church, and how this scattering that is taking place, this great persecution that came upon the people, well, caused them not to succumb, caused them not to stop practicing their faith, but caused them to continue to trust God, caused them to continue to look to God and to spread the gospel. Now that's what we want us to see here. Right? And our text also tells us that there is a enemy number one. Right? Someone energized by the evil one to wreck, our text tells us, havoc in the church. Somehow, there is that great hatred and enmity for the people of God. Verse 1 of our text says that this person was Saul. Who is this man, Saul? The other reference text tells us that this Saul is from Tarsus of Cilicia. His father was a Roman citizen. And how they obtained that privilege of being a Roman citizen. And in his early years, he was brought to Jerusalem. And how he was trained and educated under Gamaliel, the famous teacher of the law. And our text tells us that as a young man, he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. As you look at it, you cannot understand the zeal that went into this man. Could he not see what these Christians were doing? They were not troublemakers. What they did was to share the way of blessing to the others and those who have received the blessing of the gospel by faith, experience peace and joy in their hearts. And yet, you see, God would cause such an enemy to arise from amongst the Jewish community. Sometimes you just cannot understand. But as you read the text, as you ponder, you would see that God has a higher hand, a sovereign hand, in allowing His church, His own people, to go through suffering and persecution. The climax of that suffering was when Stephen was struck down. You know, Stephen was at the prime of his usefulness to God. Right? He was a man who served God fervently, sharing the truth. And how, in that moment of service, he was suddenly removed. Our text tells us that there was great lamentation. There was great sorrow amongst the people of God. How could this happen? But the Christians at that time learned to count their cost. Although they were suffering, and yet in their hearts, they trusted God to be with them. And I'd like us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, to help us to see what goes on in the heart of these Christians who were willing to hold on to their faith and lose their home and not buckle and not succumb to the pressure. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." These believers trusted God. And when persecution came, they trusted God as they moved. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. They knew that God knows the evil that the enemy is inflicting upon them. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? A logical, a very rightful question to ask, isn't it? You do good. What's wrong with that? You mean doing good is a sin? Not so. So Peter was here reasoning. He was actually speaking to all the Christians who are scattered all over Asia Minor because of persecution. And he says, "But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So during those times, when the apostles were gathered together, and when the persecution started to come upon the church, these were the instructions that went forth to the people, that they understand the purpose of God, that they go through these sufferings. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So he's telling us that these Christians who are willing to be scattered, they would not renounce their faith, they would rather lose their homes because they have a good reason to continue to trust this Jesus. They were looking for an eternal home. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So the Christians knew what they were doing when they were being scattered, when the great persecution came upon them. And we know that this persecution upon the church would not abate for the next 400 years. The persecution would be fiercer and fiercer. But you would also see from church history how the church grew stronger and stronger, because these believers were genuine, because the Spirit of God were in them, and they had the strength to endure. And the Lord wants you to have that kind of a spiritual strength as you walk with Him. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So did they do anything wrong? They did not. What did they do? They were peacemakers. They were salt. They were light. Ambassadors for the Lord, to show the people around them the way to peace, the way to God. For Christ, 1 Peter 3:18 says, also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. This men and women were filled with the Spirit. They willingly retreated, went on to run, kept the faith, lose their earthly possessions. They deem the heavenly more than the earthly. They kept faith, trusting God to help them. Now, this is what we want us to see from this text here. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1. When the persecution came, when the enemy was strong, and how they were scattered, our text tells us that God had prepared these men and women, how they were filled with the Spirit. They willingly retreated. And verse 4 of our text tells us, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They did not just run for their lives, but they went everywhere witnessing for the Lord, although they did not have the advantage of the material things of this world, but they had joy and peace in their hearts. They had God with them, and they served the Lord. Our text says, preaching the word. Proverbs 11 verse 18 says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. Now these are the works of the enemy. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. These Christians understood what they were living for, why they are running this Christian race, why they were willing to endure this persecution. And Paul said these words. He says that he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So what were these Christians doing? They were willing to submit to the will of God, to uproot themselves. Dear friends, sometimes in life, you cannot understand why certain things happen to you when you're not doing anything harmful. You're just living out your Christian life quietly. Why is it that you cannot be left alone? Why is it that persecution would come upon you? There was this brother who was working across the causeway. He was running a factory. And he was asked, you know, they have to bid for projects. And one day, he says, I receive from the management, my competitor's bid. So all he had to do is to add a little higher, and he would be able to win the tender, hands down. But because he is a child of God, he is a Christian, he would not succumb. He preached the gospel by being willing to live righteously. And so he tells me that he places the Word of God in front of him in his desk, in the office, beside him, right side, left side, behind him, to remind himself. And when the crunch time came, he had to resign. He didn't know what's next for him. He knows that he would be sitting at home. But he trusted God because he knew he was doing the right thing. The believers in Jerusalem, you know, when they were cast out, false accusations come, as they did for Stephen. Anything that they can think of, it can be hurled at you. And you know that these are false, and yet you cannot defend yourself. Where is the justice? Well, you can only, at those moments, know that God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His justice. and that God will mete out His justice if you would trust in Him and continue to do what is right in the sight of God. This was what the Christians did. And I want us to turn to Acts 11 as we conclude, to see the result of their act of faith in trusting God. Acts chapter 11 verse 19. Acts chapter 11 verse 19 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia." Phoenicia is our modern-day Lebanon area. "And Cyprus." Cyprus is the island of the Mediterranean Sea. "And Antioch." Antioch is Syria. Quite a very, very huge piece of real estate, as you can see, you know, the goings on now over there in Syria today. "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch came unto the Grecians preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." These believers were willing instruments in the hands of God to do His good will. How else will God save these people who are beyond Jerusalem, except God send them forth? And how did God send them forth? God sent them forth through this great persecution. I'm reminded, we were studying the life of Joseph, how he was incarcerated by his brothers, and how he was sent to go to Egypt. But God had a purpose. God is going to save the entire family of Jacob from the famine to come, and how God is going to make them a multitude of people. So, dear friends, as you endeavor to walk with God, endeavor to be salt and light for God in this world, the Lord wants you to know that persecution can come. Suffering can come. Even when you are walking right with God, doing good, do not be weary, but trust the Lord. Trust His higher hand guiding you. As you see in this text here, it's a historic record that they were willing to obey the law, to move. And everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. And everywhere the gospel was preached, the Holy Spirit caused men and women to be turned to God. You see, if you serve God with a sincere heart, with a pure heart, God will honor your faith. And this is what we see in the lives of these Christians. Nothing to talk about of this earthly life, nothing good. But they have stored for themselves great rewards in heaven. May the Lord help us to be willing to serve Him, come what may. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy. Thank Thee for guiding us through this text of Scripture to understand Thy hand in allowing the church to be persecuted. Lord, we know that Thou wilt not afflict easily, but Thou indeed has a good purpose for the salvation of many souls through the suffering of his saints. So Lord, may thou strengthen the hearts of thy people, that they may have the inner strength to serve thee, to be a witness, willing to count the cost and pay the price. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.